Welcome to the Complete Engineering Podcast, brought to you by the College of Engineering. We are Nebraska, where we build complete engineers with the technical and non-technical skills to do big things. Visit us at engineering.unl.edu.
Welcome to another episode of the Complete Engineering Podcast, brought to you by the University of Nebraska College of Engineering. I'm Matt Honke.
And I'm Carl Vogel.
And today we're with Michael Steely and Carl Nelson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Michael is an assistant professor of mechanical and materials engineering. His research includes manufacturing, medical devices, and sustainability.
And Carl is also a professor of mechanical and materials engineering. His research is dedicated to projects blending mechanical design, robotics, medicine, and rehabilitation.
Michael and Carl are also experienced faculty advisors for their department's senior design projects. On April 26th at iconic Memorial Stadium, their students will be among the 50-plus teams presenting their projects at the annual Senior Design Showcase, the College of Engineering's signature event for undergraduate engineers. They join us today to discuss their senior design capstone experience. So I'll start with you, Michael. What is a senior design capstone, and why is it important for engineering students?
So senior design capstone is the culminating project of their entire undergraduate curriculum that's focused on taking the skill sets that they've learned throughout their entire program and applying them to a real-world problem.
One thing that's great about our capstone projects at the senior level is that not only do they get to practice all of the different skills, or at least many of the different skills that they've developed over the course of 4 years, but really it's a breaking down of the artificial barriers that we place mentally around those bits of knowledge and skills that we get in, for example, a mechanics of materials class. For me and for a lot of people, if you're in a class and you're learning material at a relatively fast pace, put that material in a certain spot in your brain. And then at the end of the semester, the common thing that you hear is you do a brain dump and you just purge everything and you move on to the next class. And this is an opportunity for us to kind of dissolve, melt away those boundaries. In the very best case, that information has been stuck somewhere back in the cobwebs for a while. We drag it out. And not only do we drag it out of the back of the brain, but we then mix it around with some other stuff and ensure that it's not going to, you can't throw it back in the compartment and throw it away ever again.
How are the senior design projects determined?
Well, some of our projects are actually proposed by students. Others are proposed by faculty. Others are coming to us from industry. And those are our favorite ones because they give the most realistic sense of what a real life engineering project will be after students leave the university. So we bring all those project ideas together in one big session, and those projects get pitched to our students, at which point the students have a chance to opt in to these projects. They essentially bid, like in an auction, on their favorite projects to work on for the coming semester. And based on that, we run a little optimization to make sure that everybody gets assigned to a project that they're going to be engaged in. It turns out pretty well, I would say.
Yeah, usually most of the time, the students get one of their top three choices for a project.
Is this something that you guys do specific in mechanical engineering, or is this how it's done across the entire college?
You'll see variations of this, but this is how we do it in mechanical engineering. There are some particularly different approaches, for example, in civil engineering, where all students, as far as I understand, work on a common project. But most programs, you'll see some variation of this, where there will be a pool of ideas. And either through the faculty instructor assigning the projects to the students or through the students somehow opting in or bidding on these projects, they get matched up into teams.
So this year, what are some of the interesting projects we have going on in the mechanical and materials engineering for the capstone?
There's a couple industry projects. One of them is looking at a dog wheelchair, being able to improve upon what's currently available on the market. It's something that's not really recommended by a lot of vets, and so it's something where one of the clients came to us saying, here's the problem we're having with the current dog wheelchair, and we'd like an alternative solution. And so that was something that we had a student team that was eager to jump on. So that's one we're excited to see about. Another one is for industry project, looking at essentially how to move widgets, these particular parts pertaining to this company, how to move them from point A to point B. And the problem or the challenges associated with that is that they're very, very thin. They're essentially like small metal plates or gears that they're trying to move from one location to the other. And that produces its own unique challenges in terms of how do you grab these devices, how do you move them and set them in a timely way. So this year we also have one geared at patients with Parkinson's disease. And so it's something where we have a team looking at trying to develop a pin that stabilizes a person's hand when they ride. So essentially it enables someone with Parkinson's disease where their hand would normally shake a couple of millimeters, it would help stabilize that motion so that they can continue some of the normal activities that they were used to before the onset of the disease in terms of just being able to write your name or being able to write whatever it may be. Carl, you have one on a self-balancing training platform. You want to tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, we have an interesting problem with rehabilitation equipment and therapeutic equipment. This is usually very expensive and sometimes prohibitively so for small clinics who would like to have these resources for their patients, but either through lack of floor space or lack of money to buy these expensive pieces of equipment are limited in their ability of what they can acquire and how they can lay out their therapy gym, for example. And one of our projects is a partnership with Madonna Rehabilitation Hospital and tasked the students with coming up with an inexpensive balance training platform, something that patients would use as they recover from conditions such as stroke or brain injury, where they're being challenged balance-wise to maintain an upright position without reaching and supporting themselves against any other object. So our team, our student team, is developing basically just a tipping platform, an unstable platform for a person that can stand on safely and be perturbed in their balance. They're doing some programming to drive motors, to control perturbations to the person's balance system, and some safety railings, and they're basically doing some value engineering to make sure that all this comes about at a reasonable cost.
Now, for quite a while now, Madonna has worked with mechanical and materials engineering and capstone projects. How valuable is it to have them as a resource for this?
Madonna Rehabilitation Hospitals has been a wonderful partner for us for a number of years, both in the research space and in this senior design space. They have a wonderful clinical insight that we cannot replicate here in an academic institution to help to convey product needs that students will meet in developing their products. There's nothing that can hold a candle to what we get from Madonna in terms of their support, proposing interesting and valuable projects for the students, and providing a little bit of relevance and real-world experience and exposure for our student teams. We go over there sometimes and just talk with their clinicians and researchers about understanding what it is that Madonna's clients, their patients, need. And that's what really we're trying to translate into the products.
We also get a lot of non-local industry projects, which we're pretty excited about. One of those is with NASA this year at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, JPL. And so they're looking at essentially taking something like fishing line and turning in that into a linear actuator. So something that can move in an X and Y distance just by basically applying a voltage to it. And so it's a matter of how can we effectively mass produce these linear actuators out of something like a polymer, something like fishing line, essentially. And then how much linear actuation can we get out of these particular devices? And so is it something where we can get it to pick up 5 pounds and displace that 1 inch just by twisting this particular wire over on itself multiple times until you form relatively large super knots, essentially? And so that's a pretty exciting project that we're proud of that is actually from outside the region that we're Nebraskan students are having an impact on, even in places like NASA with the Jet Propulsion Lab.
How does a project like one with NASA come about? I mean, it's got to be through years and years of relationships that are built up.
Yeah, this particular one is one that is from a relationship. I think actually the primary sponsor was a former graduate of Nebraska, and he's trying to get more Nebraskan students involved and associated with NASA. And so I think that's a great example of Nebraska's outreach and being able to extend to those particular places like NASA and the Jet Propulsion Lab. And that coming back long-term, having an impact on our next generation of undergrad students. That's exactly what we would love to see. A lot of times it's just built through industry collaborations, projects that have been in the works for however many years, that an organic relationship evolved where we can actually get some capstone projects out of it. So that's what we love to see, whether it's Nebraskan students, former grads of ours that are coming back and helping out with our capstone projects, or it's something where our faculty members have a relationship they've built over so many years with some of these companies.
Actually quite validating to hear back from our alumni and have them express a desire to be involved in our new generation of students and their development and their design projects, because it shows how our alumni feel about Nebraska, about the university, about the college, and about the education that they got here.
I mean, these are some amazing projects that you guys are talking about that are solving real-world problems. I mean, you had me at dog wheelchair. Have you seen in previous years, have you seen projects that have gone beyond just the competition? Have you seen them get implemented into the real world, into an industry that they've taken it to the next level from just the competition itself?
That's what we're hoping with projects such as the balance device, that eventually these kinds of developments could be translated outside the university into viable products that could benefit real people in and out of Nebraska. We've had cases in the past where we had academic products, published research papers that spun out of these senior capstone projects. So there's really all different directions that these can take. Sometimes they're a little bit more theoretical development that goes into them. Sometimes it's really just something that could be sold. Other times it's a little mix of both, and sometimes there's a clear impact on people.
As far as the student experience goes in this, do these projects sometimes lead to other opportunities, jobs, internships, networking connections?
Sure. And that's one of the draws that brings sponsors to us, is that sponsors are organizations that need to hire engineers. And what's the best way to find engineers is to come to the university right before they're graduating and get to know a few of them. And particularly in the way that we form our teams, they're getting a team of students assigned to their project who have opted in, already engaged and interested in the project topic that the sponsor might be proposing. So yeah, that's one of the great things about this capstone project opportunity for our industry sponsors, is the access that it gives them to our students. And it's a win-win because we also get to advertise for the university along the same time. We'd love to see all sorts of people from all over Nebraska and the region coming out to see our projects. We've had lots of participation from companies in the past, but the BDs and the Union Pacifics and the, what's the
Kawasaki.
Other one? Kawasaki, Lincoln Industries, all these companies that are close by that hire our engineers, we'd love to see them come out and get a feel for what we're producing these days in terms of the educational output of College of Engineering.
So this year, Michael and Carl, you have an unusual pair of projects for two of the student teams that are involved in a little friendly competition between the two of you. What are those projects, and how did this competition come about?
I'm originally from Alabama. In Alabama, nobody owns a snow shovel, okay? And it's one of those things where the first time I shoveled snow, there was a massive snowstorm that hit the Northeast, and there was a news article saying how 20 people died from heart attacks from shoveling snow. And all of a sudden, I have to go outside that day and start shoveling snow. I start feeling my heart pound through my chest. Now, it's been a few years. I'm burned out on shoveling snow. I didn't grow up doing this. I'm trying to find a solution where I never have to shovel snow again. And it actually turns out to be an excellent capstone project. And so this year, we're actually taking it and turning it into a competition format, to where we're taking multiple approaches and seeing how we can figure out how Dr. Seely never has to shovel snow again. The two approaches we're taking, one is think of like a heated blanket approach, essentially something that could deploy over my driveway, melt the snow away, and then all of a sudden I unplug that device and it just naturally folds itself back up, gets put on my shelf in my garage. I'm a little biased towards this project because I think this is the one that's going to beat Nelson's project. The other approach is the robot approach. Think of like a Roomba for your driveway to get rid of snow. So like a Roomba is the thing that vacuums up, goes inside your house like a robot automatically. Think of the same type of approach, but using that to get rid of snow off your driveway. So that's how it came about, to make sure I never shovel snow again.
Yeah, we were having this friendly conversation about snow removal, and it turned into me witlessly stumbling into agreeing to help with a capstone project, which I love doing. So it wasn't that big of a stretch.
If this is a friendly competition, is there a wager on this?
It's just pride.
Just pride?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is just pride. I don't know. Are you going to grade for me for something or anything?
Never.
In that ballpark? No.
Okay.
I've got a broken snow shovel you could use as a trophy if you'd like.
Yeah, that'll work.
That would be cool.
That actually would be very cool.
So how do you determine in the end who's the winner of the competition?
So that's something we're trying to decide right now. We have a connection to one of the local ice rinks where we're looking at using the Zamboni to produce a significant amount of ice chips that would mimic snowfall.
At the beginning of the project, as we were pitching it to students, this was one of the questions that occurred to us, is how do we know who wins? And so in the problem statement, we did actually specify a 1 square meter area of snow removal. So that's our objective requirement.
Turns out to be a pretty timely project, right? With all the snow we've had, it's been kind of a miserable year for shoveling snow. I would love to see it turn into one of these as seen on TV products, hopefully by next year. So fingers crossed.
This is the Complete Engineering Podcast, and that's in reference to our Complete Engineer Initiative that we have at the University of Nebraska. We have 6 competencies of intercultural appreciation, leadership, teamwork, self-management, service and civic responsibility, and engineering ethics. And I think one of them that just jumps off the page at me is teamwork. Obviously, you are working with teams of other engineering students. Some of this is cross-discipline. In other cases, you're working with other engineering students from the same discipline. How important is that teamwork to have the successful project at the end?
Well, I've seen teams totally crash and burn because they couldn't communicate well. Even though they had perfectly satisfactory technical ability, project management is something that students don't learn very early on. Really, it's relegated to this opportunity where they get to practice being in teams. So this, for us, is the chance to plug in that skill that otherwise would go, if not untouched, very lightly glossed over in throughout most of their academic career.
Another thing I wanted to add is another excellent source, kind of what I call legacy projects, a source of projects for our capstone program, is coming from projects related to Formula and Baja. They do an excellent job in terms of being able to come up with a component that they can use and actually improve the performance of their vehicle.
I think our listeners would be very interested in hearing a little more about that. What is Baja and Formula?
Baja and Formula is two automotive events organized by the Society of Automotive Engineers, SAE. And so every year, there are multiple competitions that happen throughout the country. And Lincoln's lucky because we have one of the Formula competitions that happens in the U.S. right here in Lincoln, Nebraska in the summertime. And so it's essentially where students design and build from the ground up a complete vehicle. Baja is a competition where you do more of an all-terrain type vehicle. So you think of like the dune buggy type activity. And then Formula is more aligned with your Formula One race cars series that you see. And it's high speed, high performance type of vehicle where they're going pretty fast.
This ties into the competency under the Complete Engineer Initiative of leadership that have these legacy projects coming from student groups where there's a leadership structure and those senior students are passing along knowledge to the underclassmen and really giving them a foundation for their future in working in either the automotive field, as this example showed, or some other fields.
We have a Formula project from last year from one of our students that went on to NEAPCO, and she was designing a knuckle joint, essentially, for the Baja vehicle. Now that she's employed at NEAPCO, she's looking for a way to test the fatigue life of these particular joints. This year, she's sponsoring a project to build a fatigue tester on a U-joint, essentially, for an all-terrain vehicle. So that's something we love to see.
And now we're joined by three students who are in the competition teams with Dr. Seeley and Dr. Nelson. They are all senior students in mechanical and materials engineering, all expecting to graduate in May. We are joined from Team Seeley, Alex Arutia, Cole Dempsey, and Ethan Blaney from Team Nelson. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Which project are each of you working on, and how do you see this having an impact on the world?
So I'm on Dr. Seeley's team working on the heated blanket, the self-deploying and self-retracting, and I think it'll help with the world because, especially in the Midwest, especially with how the weather's been recently and the climate change, being able to pull the blanket out, set it, forget it, without a sweat, snow's gone.
So is this something you deploy prior to the snow coming, or do you deploy it after the snow is down and it melts it after the fact?
That's actually something we've had to think about quite a bit this semester. It'll work actually both ways. The heating coil, there's not much on either side of the blanket. So you can put it out beforehand to prevent any snow from falling down, or if there's already snow that came down, you can do that afterwards. So it works both ways.
So that's Alex working on Team Seeley's. Now, Cole and Ethan with Dr. Nelson's, how is your project coming along and what are your roles on the team?
We have the Snowbot. We're going to have a snowblower that is just going to be autonomously driven. So it's just going to carve out a path on your driveway and just blow the snow off either side and clear it that way. I don't think we have specific roles kind of designated for us. We've all kind of just been tackling individual projects that come along with the overall project, and we just fill in the puzzle pieces as we go.
Cole, what are some of the challenges your team has faced, and how have you worked to overcome?
We're trying to autonomously navigate through an unstructured environment. So when you think of a driveway like we're designing this robot for, there's not really any physical barriers or structures or walls for the sensors of the robot to detect and know if it's going to run into the grass or drive off into the street or something obviously we want to avoid. We've had to get creative with how we're going to navigate this robot throughout the driveway. One approach that we came up with is using something called April tags, and they resemble something like a QR code. The robot uses computer vision to detect these April tags that we place throughout the environment. So essentially, we're adding structure to the environment.
Same for Alex. What kind of challenges has your team faced, and what have you done to overcome?
So one of the big problems that we came across was just in the design process of making it how we wanted it to unfold, whether it should be fully automated, only semi-automated, really trying to enhance the user experience there. And that was something that was a big debate within the group for a while as to how exactly we should go about it.
Does the robot have a name?
It's unofficially just coined the Snowbot the moment.
That's been our working title for a while.
Well, to be fair, does the blanket have a name?
I've been trying to pitch something, kind of go with Garrison Keillor's Lake Wobegon's, Lake Snowbegon, something like that. hasn't gone well yet, mainly because I haven't pitched it super hard. But we'll get there.
Did either of your teams get to test this outdoors?
Well, I'll call it research. I was performing by actually clearing my driveway with a snowblower. And so, you know, it just kind of gives you insights about how it should move and what the best path for actual clearing would be most efficient. So things like that. But as far as actually testing our product, no, we weren't that far along. And fortunately, or unfortunately, how you're looking at it, the snow is kind of gone.
And we had faced something similar where when the snow was still on the ground, we had bought a small heating pad from, I think, Walmart. And just wanted to test to see how well it would do with the coil pattern that it had inside of it and what kind of power it would draw.
The college has instituted in the last few years the Complete Engineer Initiative to help teach non-technical skills to engineers, something that our industry partners have given us feedback over the years that they were looking for from incoming engineers. How has your experience in this capstone project and throughout your college career helped you to develop those skills?
Teamwork is obviously a big part of it, but the self-management aspect has been pretty interesting because I think kind of the, I'll call it hand-holding, you know, is gone. No one's going to push you along. You can sit back and do nothing for quite a while and you'll pay the price for it. So you have to make sure you're putting in the work and you're crunching the numbers and you're actually making a product that you think is going to work.
How has the senior design capstone experience, if you were to just kind of reflect on what you've gone through, how is it comparing to what your idea of the professional world is going to be like?
One thing that Dr. Nelson kind of highlighted on earlier was breaking down those mental barriers of knowledge being quarantined to those classes and then kind of forgotten later. Is when you do research or internships or things like that, you kind of start to see how everything begins to piece together and gain deeper insights for how everything is going to be used in the real world and how this information is valuable. How you really need a diverse set of skills and information from a variety of classes to be a successful engineer in a variety of projects and internships.
Have you noticed that at times when a problem arises that you're pulling something from this one class or this one instructor 2 years ago, but you're pulling little nuggets of information over the years? And did you notice that kind of throughout the process?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Several times I would be working on a problem and then just, I couldn't quite remember what I was doing. So I would just crack open a textbook that I had, you know, from a year ago, 2 years ago, and turn right to the chapter and then, you know, I just remember it and teach myself it again and make it work.
Sure. Yeah. No, the amount of textbooks I've had is just flip pages through just to remember certain. Just even one small equation has definitely helped. It kind of goes to show how comprehensive the curriculum for undergrad here is.
So more importantly, as we get close to winding down here, probably the most important question of all, who's going to win?
I think it's kind of apples and oranges, honestly. I don't know if you're going to have a full driveway-sized blanket. Are you planning on having a driveway-sized blanket?
Yeah, we have some secrets.
Oh, trade secrets. Okay. Well, I think that our advantages were, I think, equipped to do a bigger driveway more quickly is what I think our advantages are.
Ours could end up being more complex. It's hard to say, just so it might require more pieces, which could be good or bad, but it also might be able to complete the task faster and not worry about like the refreeze of snowmelt. But it is kind of apples and oranges. They both have their strengths in every area, and that's kind of the interesting part of this design project.
Okay, it's a lightning round. We have 15 questions, and this works out great. There's 5 of you, so 3 for each. Dog or cat?
Dog.
Who's your favorite superhero?
Mermaid Man.
Favorite tailgating food?
Ribs.
Have you ever used a slide rule?
It's been a long time. I've tried using a slide rule.
First video game you owned?
Probably my, like, 64.
Favorite musical genre?
Hipster music.
Wrong answer. Jazz.
What was your favorite toy growing up?
Rubik's Cube.
If you could time travel, to when would you go?
Dinosaurs.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how strict were your parents?
9.
Do you know how to run a VCR?
Yes. It's been a while, but I do.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
What's your pet peeve?
Dinosaurs.
Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Herbie Husker or Little Red?
Little Red.
If any of you would like to see the Snowbot or the Snow Be Gone blanket, you can see it at the 2019 Senior Design Showcase on April 26th at Memorial Stadium. It begins at 1 o'clock in the East Campus Suites. Thank you for coming and being part of the podcast.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Complete Engineering Podcast. For more information, visit us at engineering.unl.edu.